This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Adam Montgomery on trial. Very shocking testimony coming out from Kayla Montgomery, her former boyfriend, lover, although she did profess to still have feelings for him on the stand this last week. The testimony that we're about to talk about and dissect into really just kind of gets down to the basics of human decency, or even just being human in general, the way one is able to gloss over some of the insanity that was going on around her. Kayla Montgomery, of course, testifying against Adam Montgomery and part of a plea deal. Joining me to discuss, Bob Motta, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. What did you get out of Kayla's testimony this last week, where she seemed to just kind of talk about really heinous, horrible things, and her only excuse was, he looked evil, and I just sat back and watched it all happen?
Yeah. I mean, my biggest take from it was that she's not a very good person. You know, it's hard to stomach, you know. I always tell people that are willing to listen, like out of all defendants kind of currently going right now, I don't know that there's anybody that I detest more than Adam Montgomery.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about him, but just seeing his face like enrages me. I'm sure it's because the visions of him punching that adorable, sweet little girl in the face repeatedly with closed fists just like always jump into my mind. And that's one guy where I'd like to meet him in a dark alley as opposed to let the criminal justice system take care of him, see if he wants to pick on somebody his own size. But as far as Kayla, I mean, she's complicit. You know, I mean, you can't look at it any other way. I mean, she got a deal, you know, and they obviously part of that deal was her testifying against him. And we know that they're going to be saying that it was her that killed her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what their defense is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I don't know. She was hard to stomach. She wasn't as bad as Adam himself, but I just don't think, I think she's a liar.
Yeah.
You know, that was what I felt from her testimony. I don't think she was credible at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you've got two awful people. I think that they've got an awful witness and an awful defendant, you know, and it's a tough job for the jury to figure out which or both of these two awful people are responsible for Harmony's death, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, obviously when we're talking about finding someone innocent or guilty of a crime, it does matter. But at this point, if you're in the jury and you're hearing Kayla testify to what she's testifying to and being complicit and sitting there and watching these things happen and then going along with this for years, collecting the checks for Harmony and literally carting that body around for all of that time and really thinking nothing of it. Does it matter who did it at this point? I mean, it seems they're both almost like 50-50 culpable for the death of this little girl and nothing happening to bring justice to this or to just get this little girl buried and in a proper way other than carting her around in a duffel bag.
Yeah. No, I don't think it does matter. I mean, he's the one on trial, so he's going to be the one that goes down on it. But, you know, I mean, it's just such a sickening case.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It really goes to the heart of like the depravity of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think ultimately that was the primary culprit. Mm-hmm. And both their downfalls, you know, it reminds me of that scene from that movie Trainspotting where they're all heroin addicts. And, you know, I mean, the woman completely neglects the baby and you know what I mean? It's like the baby dies and they don't realize it for days. It's like, it's sad and it's sick and it's depraved and, you know, above and beyond the neglect is just his treatment and the abuse that he levied upon that little girl is, you know, I mean, whatever the worst possible punishment it is or that exists, I mean, that guy deserves it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like every picture I see of Harmony, it like breaks my heart.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that cute little face. Yeah. And she's just so adorable and seems so sweet.
It's even more heartbreaking.
I hate that case, Tony.
Yeah. I mean, with us both being fathers of little girls, it hits home even more. The fact that he's not showing up to court, that he's electing to stay in his jail cell. I didn't know you could even do that. I mean, is that like a jurisdiction by jurisdiction thing, if that's an option for you? And what do you make of that? Why is that going to play well for his own defense? Or is this just him kind of throwing in the towel going, they got me no matter what, so I'm just not going to participate in this?
Yeah, it's really more of a judge by judge thing. Like, I mean, it's his right. I mean, he can waive his appearance, you know, I mean, it's his constitutional right to waive in terms of actually appearing. But say, for instance, he was out on bond, you know, and they issued a warrant if he didn't show up, because they can try you. It's called in absentia, meaning that they'll try the case without you as the defendant if you're not there. Like, they can convict you without you being there. They warn you of it, that they can have a trial in absentia. So, I mean, this is essentially that, you know, they're having a trial in absentia, except he's in custody and he's waiving his, you know, he's waiving his appearance, and the judge in this particular scenario is okay with it. I've seen it where the judge drags the defendant into the courtroom. You know, I mean, because really, what's the recourse for the defendant?
Well, why not? I mean, why not drag him in there? I don't understand why the judge is giving him that liberty, if you will. I mean, this is such a horrid case, and to say, oh, you go ahead, you sit that out, when the judge doesn't have to do that. I'm trying to understand the reasoning behind all of that.
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if I was the judge, I'd be dragging him in there. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'd be having the deputies drag him in, and if they have to restrain him. You know, if I had to guess, I would think that the judge is of the mindset, well, you know, it's pretty much going to guarantee this guy's verdict if he doesn't show up, because certainly the jury can be made aware that he's waived his appearance. That doesn't have to be something that has to be hidden from the jury, that he's electing not to come into that courtroom and face the music and or put up a defense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So with the real question for me is how does the judge handle the scenario wherein he does want to come into the courtroom? Like when it's their case in chief, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, I have no idea if that guy's going to testify. I wouldn't put him on with a million foot pole if I was representing him. There's going to be no way that he's going to help himself, but does he just show up then?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like in it, and it's the judge is in a tough spot because constitutionally he's got a right to be there. So if he says, yeah, I want to come in and, you know, I want to be here, you know, where the judge, I'm sure, would be like, well, no, sorry. You know, you should have been here for the whole thing. And I think the judge is going to be handcuffed because he's got a constitutional right to be there in the courtroom. So I don't know that the judge would be able to do anything about it. It kind of reminds me of when Lori Vallow was asking or requesting that she not be forced to look at the pictures of the kids. You know what I mean? It's got that same vibe.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, ultimately, look, man, it's his right to waive.
Sure.
You know, and they know where he's at. And I know that people are up in arms about it. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think it's a judge by judge thing. I've just never had it happen to me. Like, I have never had a case that I've tried where my defendant is like, I'm not going, you know, like you know, I'm good.
Do you think this was planned? Like, this is, if you're his attorney, are you, because when he did make an appearance in court, it was very vile. He's like laughing and has his tongue out and joking around. And I mean, that can't play well to a jury. I mean, if you are his defense, are you saying, look, it is better if you stay in that cell because your presence in here is not going to do you any favors?
I mean, while that's true, no. I'm not, it's the worst strategy I've ever heard of.
I'm wondering, you know, I get what you're saying,
but
he's so
it's
vile
like
that.
He is that vile. I mean, but you know, is he any more vile than any other, you know, murderer that stood trial for killing children? You know,
sure.
What I mean? Like
yeah.
they're all vile. Like it's just it like that's not like a defense. Mm-hmm. You know, like oh well, you know you're. Maybe there is something to it. Cause like I was saying, like just the sight of his face enrages me more
exactly.
than anybody else going. Right
that's
now.
What I'm saying.
There is something to that, man. Cause like, I don't know what it is about that guy in particular. You know, it's not even the things that he says or the way that he acts. Like, as soon as I see his face, I just mm-hmm. want to like, just tear him apart, you know? So maybe there's something to that. I don't know. Maybe his lawyer feels the same way, which is not a good way for an attorney who's handling a defendant to feel. But, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know what the game is there because I've never tried to run it and I've never had a defendant try to run it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's like I've had defendants bolt. Mm-hmm. I've had them like flee the jurisdiction, go back to Mexico. I've had that happen. I've never had it where, you know, my client refused to come into the courtroom for his trial or her trial ever. It's a very unusual circumstance.
It's very bizarre. And there's so much to watch in here. And it's just, it's utterly heartbreaking.
Yeah, it really is, man. It's a crusher.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now